His ruddy complexion reddened, and he fixed me with a dark-eyed stare. His steely gray hair frizzed around his head like a scouring pad.
I told you to stay away. What part of that did you not understand?
I don't know.
I meant far away. This is my turf, and you know it.
I'd been walking around Lavender for nearly a year, and now this guy wanted to know why I'm here? Why was he here? Do I know you? I said.
Your being here is only gonna cause trouble,
he said. Look, I said, I have no idea what you're talking about, Mr.
Very funny.
His voice reminded me of a snarling dog.
You need to slink back to that rock you crawled out from under.
He had made no move toward me besides latching on to my cart like a recalcitrant toddler, but his gruff words set off an adrenaline rush. I tucked a hand inside my purse and rested my fingers on the phone in the side pocket. Obviously, you have the wrong person, I said.
Don't play Little Miss Innocent with me,
he said.
I guarantee it won't work this time.
He released my card and took a step toward me, the small movement raising the threat level several notches. I pulled out the phone, intent on calling Sheriff Jeb Crawford directly on his cell phone.
Who are you calling?
The stranger made a swipe toward my phone, but I twisted to keep it out of his reach. Whoever I want to, I said. A man behind me hollered,
Hey!
Heavy footsteps slapped across the blacktop, and the second man came into view. I recognized this one. Gabe Brenner, one of the festival vendors, had checked into Aunt Rose's Melbourne cottage earlier in the day. How did he just so happen to be in my personal space? Again. When the stranger made another grab for my phone, Gabe pulled back and let a heavy fist fly. His punch connected with the stranger's chin and caused the older man to stagger back.
You keep away from her,
Gabe said.
Says who?
The other man said.
I do.
Gabe turned to me.
You know this dude?
No, I said. Never saw him before in my life. The older man straightened, one hand held to his chin, and glared at me.
You haven't heard the last of this, sweetheart. Watch it, mister,
Gabe said,
or you'll be sorry. She might even sick her bad luck cat on you.
Outraged, I looked at Gabe. He is not bad luck. The guy had only met me, and the cat, for the first time less than 8 hours ago. How had he already heard that stupid nickname?
Are you kidding?
Said the older man.
You brought the cat, too?
I shook my head, trying to make sense of the conversation. I met the stranger's gaze. I don't know what your deal is, but you've mistaken me for someone else, and I'll thank you both to leave my cat out of this. All I wanted was to get away from these men and go home to bake a pumpkin pie. Was that too much to ask? The stranger looked from me to Gabe, who stood by my side with fists clenched, then turned away. Instead of heading into the store, he stalked back to his truck and climbed in. Moments later, the truck roared out of the parking lot. Gabe put a hand on my shoulder.
Are you okay? You want me to follow him? I will, you know, if you want me to.
No, you don't need to follow him.
Then let me help you with the groceries.
No, I said firmly. I'm fine and I can handle this.
Why was he harassing you?
Gabe persisted. Sounded like he mixed me up with someone else.
How's that?
Gabe said, his voice softening.
There's only one like you, Sabrina.
I ignored the comment. Now that the bigger problem was gone, I'd have to figure out what to do about Gabe. He'd taken an instant liking to me and Hitchcock when we met, and had shadowed us around the cottages to the point that I'd left the premises to get away from him. The lovesick puppy expression he wore when he looked at me made me nervous, but the stalker-like vibe he threw off really gave me the heebie-jeebies. 2. I managed to convince Gabe that I was fine to drive home by myself. After I had my groceries in the car and got on the road, I heaved a sigh of relief. Since we were both headed to the same place, though, the guy was tailing me in his food truck. Gabe was